I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And we're actually back in the studio this week. And I have a haircut and a beard trim, which I'm still getting used to, but it's okay. Don't panic. Sound advice. Yes, there goes my phone beeping at me. Sound advice from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, of course. Yes. From the good old Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I can hear it in the back of my head. Don't panic in large friendly letters. Anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast 10 Network. TechPodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I am out of practice. I haven't done a true, official, genuine netcast in quite a while. I had a few little snippets of netcast, but those don't count. And I do want to congratulate Tech Podcast Network for an excellent, excellent coverage of CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. Wow. Dude, they did a good job. I enjoyed watching, you know, the feed and everything that they did through live stream. It was really, really awesome. So I hope you caught some of that. Hope you enjoyed it. Good things from CES. Now, let me say that a lot of what was at CES was meh. Okay. But there were a few good things, and we'll talk about a few of those as we go forth through the netcast. Oh, let me also mention that because we had little snippet netcast, and mostly because people were waiting to do CES, you know what I'm saying? They were just waiting, biding their time before they did CES, so they really weren't announcing very much to talk about. But anyway, because of all of that, Fred was off as well. Fred, of course, is my imaginary friend, as you probably know. And though I know what's coming, I'm going to say it. Say hi, Fred. Yeah, he always does that. I think he does it as much as anything else so that you'll see that his name is spelled with a PH. He's very serious about that PH. And you know, something just occurred to me. Amazing! Fred, if I might ask this question, is it possibly that it is PHRED and you're trying to infer that you have a PhD? Yes. That suddenly occurred to me. You see, of course, Dr. Bill, I have a PhD. Sometimes I think he's a little, you know, a little jealous. I don't know. Right. Yeah, well, I guess he has a point there. Okay! He does kind of keep me straight, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, let's look at the items we have in the blog. The blog, of course, is drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. Thank you for putting it up there, Fred. I don't want to get Fred ticked off. He could do things to the show. You know what I'm saying? Okay, could a Microsoft browser actually be cool? I know some of you are going, the end has come. Hold on. Hang in there. Basically, what Microsoft is doing is they are creating a new browser called Spartan. And they're calling it Spartan because the browser itself is lightweight. You know, easy to use, doesn't eat up a lot of your memory, all those things that Internet Explorer, of course, does all the time. So, I was talking to a friend of mine at work. You know the one I'm talking about. Anyway, I've talked about my friend at work that likes to give me a hard time about Microsoft, because he drank the Kool-Aid a long time ago. His lips are dyed purple, he drinks so much of the Microsoft Kool-Aid. Know what I'm saying? Anyway, so he was talking about that people don't appreciate Internet Explorer because it's too technical for them. They need to understand the depth of its cosmicness in order to properly use all the plugins and things that it does. To which I looked at him and went, right. Like I said, he drank that Kool-Aid a long time ago. Anyway, we all know that Internet Explorer sucks. S-U-X. Yes. And its mother dresses it funny as well. So anyway, so Internet Explorer is terrible, but Microsoft is coming out with a new browser codenamed Spartan, which will be small and thin and you know, easy to use, they say. Chief among the plans for Spartan is new inking support. Inking support? That's what it says, inking support. I wonder if they mean linking. That allows Windows 10 users to annotate. No, I guess it means that. Annotate a web page with a stylus and send notes and annotations to a friend or colleague. This is by Tom Warren on The Verge. I would not call it inking support. I would call that the ability to write on your screen. Inking? Whatever. Anyway, the web note service will be powered by Microsoft's OneDrive cloud storage, meaning notes will be stored on a copy of a web page that can be accessed by any browser across multiple platforms. As annotations are shared, multiple users can doodle on the web page. That sounds dangerous. And share edits and annotations between groups. A second major feature of Spartan will be the integration of Microsoft's Cortana Digital Assistant. You know, that's Microsoft's version of Siri. Yes. Microsoft is planning to use Cortana to surface information on flights. This guy writes funny. To surface information on flights, hotel bookings, package tracking, and other data. Now, I will say this. I am of an older generation than perhaps this gentleman is. Maybe this is proper English and grammatical structure when it comes to the new generations that have come. I don't know. Anyway. So, it may be a decent browser. One does not know. We'll just have to wait and see. Okay? Next item from CES, the Bitdefender box. Now, Bitdefender is one of my favorite antivirus and anti-malware programs. I actually have it installed on this laptop that I have here that I'm using right now. There's the lid of it. I will put it back down. I'm shaking the camera. You're going, ah, blah, blah, blah. I'm in an earthquake. No! Fear not. Bitdefender box. It is a box, you know, little box, that is about the size of a Roku, that is white instead of black like a Roku would be, but it has advanced threat protection, and not just for your computers. Everything, they say. Once connected to the internet, every device, every smart TV, every smart appliance, fridges, that's short for refrigerators, thermostats, or gaming consoles, which are vulnerable. Okay. To malware that silently does its work. Box protects everything else that's in the home. Your PCs, your Macs, your Android, your iOS tablets. They don't say Linux boxes, but it would protect them too because it protects at the network. Just like an antivirus for your home network. I think I just said that. So all of these devices would be protected. Anything that's hanging off your home network, this would protect it at the point that your router connects to the evil outside world of the internet, and everything inside your house would be protected by this box. Thus, the name. So there you go. I like it. I think it's great. By the way, it's $199 to buy it, and that comes with 1 year of antivirus protection. And then you pay $99 the next year to get continued support. Which is not bad. Here's the thing. You got to think about this. Instead of having to buy antivirus for every single PC and then wondering if all your devices are protected from malware and all that, you just pay the $99 a year after you buy the box and everything's covered. It's not that bad an idea, you know, so cool. Toyota, next item. Toyota is open sourcing its fuel cell patents. Patents. I need to work on my tongue. Tongue. Kind of like Jar Jar. My tongue. No, let's not even talk about Jar Jar. Let's just forget I said that. By the way, I have here some unsweet tea that has been sweetened with stevia. Because stevia is awesome. It's an herb. An herb, I tell you. And it sweetens things, and I like it. So stevia tea is awesome. It's not like tea that is stevia tea. It's regular old, what that you'd call normal tea, or as we naturopathic folks say, black tea, that is sweetened with stevia. Oh, yeah, that's good. Anyway, see, my other doctorate is in naturopathy, which is all the natural health and herby things. So, just saying, but I like stevia tea. Anyway, when I say that, you know what I mean when I say that. It's sweetened with stevia. Just want to make that clear. Anyway, Toyota is open sourcing its fuel cell patents. Now, this is awesome. Here is a big, major auto company. Now, Tesla did this, of course, you know, a few weeks back. We talked about this, that Tesla was doing it, but Toyota is doing it. And we're talking thousands of patents here. Actually, 5,600 patents will be available through 2020 to car makers to produce and sell fuel cell vehicles. Wow, that's awesome. I mean, you know, you can read the whole article here. We won't go into a whole lot of detail, but that's really cool. So check that out. Also, the new Apple Watch may run a Samsung processor. Now, I find that interesting because Apple has been kind of feuding with Samsung a bit. But according to China Topics website, David Curry writes, a new rumor suggests Apple might have contracted Samsung to be the primary manufacturer for the S1 chip, the processor inside the upcoming Apple Watch. Apple reportedly has acquired 3,000 to 4,000 12-inch wafers every month from Samsung in an attempt to have sufficient hardware units before the launch in spring, according to ZDNet. Wow. So, who knows? This may, in fact, be the source of the chip that will power the legendary Apple Watch. I don't know if I want an Apple Watch. I'm not big on watches. I mean, you can tell I don't have a watch on either arm. I have to move this arm because of the microphone thing there. But anyway, next item, Fedora 21 looks cool for cloud users. This is cross-posted from VertZine. VertZine is the magazine, online magazine of virtualization and cloud computing, which I also write and do a netcast for. I stay busy. Anyway, when Fedora 21 hit release last month, this gentleman, Jason Baker from opensource.com, was excited and he was ready to go. By the end of the day, he had every desktop machine that he owned running on the new version. He says, I was enjoying playing with the latest version of some of my favorite open source software, which was packaged inside. But what next? The desktop edition of Fedora 21 was just one of the flavors of Fedora. Fedora. What do the other two hold, and what do they mean for Fedora outside the workstation? There is a flavor, for just cloud. The Fedora project split the distribution to three different focuses or flavors. A version for desktop users focused on workstation uses. A server edition focused on traditional infrastructure needs. And the cloud image for those who want to use Fedora in a virtualized environment. The cloud flavor packs only the essentials that is packaged to be deployed on your favorite cloud choice. You know, I can't help but wonder what a cloud flavor would taste like. I don't know. I tend to think of fluffy, marshmallowy flavor. Anyway, is the Palm being brought back? Palm like Palm Pilot? I don't know. I hope not. It's cross-posted from the handheld hack. The handheld hack, of course, is the netcast of handheld devices, which, of course, I also write and do a netcast for semi-occasionally. Like I said, I'm really busy. Okay, anyway. The Palm may be being brought back from the dead. This is from Variety of all places by Mark Grazer, who's the author. He says, Chinese electronics maker TCL, which spent considerable coin to rename man's Chinese theater in Hollywood, has acquired the rights to revive the once dominant maker of digital personal organizers. TCL said at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas this week that it will recreate the Palm in Silicon Valley after having purchased the brand's assets from Hewlett-Packard late last year. HP had spent $1.2 billion to purchase Palm in 2010, but sold off the company's WebOS operating system to LG in 2013, leaving TCL with little other than nostalgia to work with. Yee. Palm has always carried a lot of affect and emotions, TCL said in a statement. That's why TCL has set the direction to rebuild the brand, involving Palm's very own community, making it the largest scale crowdsourced project ever seen in the industry. Well, that sounds interesting anyway. We'll see how that works out for them. Whoa! All right, Fred! Fred's back! He's back with a vengeance! He played the Geek Software of the Week because it's time for the Geek Software of the Week, and I must say, this Geek Software of the Week is probably some of the best Geek Software of the Week you've ever seen in your whole life. I am not kidding. This is awesome. I saw this week when I was looking around for things, and I just happened to run across it, and it's pretty cool. It's called Patch My PC. And what it is you install this tiny little program on your PC, you run it, and it goes and looks at tons and tons of different programs that it has in its database, and it makes sure you're running the latest version. If it's not, it will download it. It will install it. Dude. I mean, think about this. I run the GIMP. I run a Chrome browser. I run Adobe Reader. I run Java. All of these different things. And being a good system dude, I go on there and I check, is this up to date? Is that up to date? Matter of fact, I have many people that look at me and say, you're out of your mind. Why do you keep updating your stuff? It's because that's my job. It's what I do. I actually kind of do it for fun even. I know, Fred. It's sad, isn't it? Anyway, but this does it all for you. Does that mean I'll have less fun? I don't know. But I just run this program and it goes doot, 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 and checks everything. And if it needs an update, it will, oh well, I won't do the update until it asks you. It'll say, do you want to update these? And you go, yes. And you gleefully watch while it updates everything. Well, I did. Fred may have a point about my lifestyle. Just saying. But anyway, I was going to say earlier about the next item, although you didn't know that it was about this next item. There was a lot of things at CES that were kind of meh. I said that. You can quote me. Yes, Fred, even you can quote me. It was meh. By the way, that's M-E-H, meh. It is a general derisive toned comment of apathy. Meh. Anyway, but there was one thing at CES that was truly awesome from my point of view, and that was the Gogoro. G-O-G-O-R-O, Gogoro. You say, what in the world is that? It's a scooter. Now you may say to yourself, what? What? A scooter? Well, it's, you know, it's a scooter like you'd use to go from point A to point B, you know, and it'll go up to 60 miles an hour. So we're not talking about a little bitty, you know, what around the old country folk side of things call a liquor sickle. Which is people who can't use their driver's license anymore because they were caught driving drunk, so they're riding around on a little scooter. No, this is a very high-tech, cool scooter that'll do up to 60 miles an hour. But it's all electric. So what's really cool about this is it's electric, it has special batteries. You gotta watch the video that I have here. This is John P. from Geek Beat talking about the Gogoro, and he's as excited about it as I am. But these special batteries, you basically kind of lease the batteries because they're going to have these stations where you stick your old battery in and a new battery pops out. You put it in the Gogoro and you'd ride off. I mean, it'd be kind of like fueling up at a gas station, except you're getting a new battery. And it's a new battery, so they keep them conditioned. It's got like an electronic thing that senses whether or not it's good or not. And if it starts failing as a battery, then they toss it. And they put a good one in there. So you always have the right kind of good batteries. You gotta admit, that's a cool idea. So, check it out. It's actually pretty cool. So you gotta watch the video. Go to drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. I bit my tongue. I'll drink a little tea. Cool my tongue down. Anyway, go to drbill.tv, go to the Gogoro, it says Gogoro with an exclamation point on the YouTube video. Click it, watch it. It's awesome. Just saying. So anyway, hope you enjoyed the first real netcast we've had in many a day. And remember until next time that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.